In Luke, the 17th chapter, starting in verse 11, it says, "And it came about, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee." Talking about Christ here. "And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Where there are not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Among the many fine graces which make up our human character, gratitude is perhaps one of the most beautiful or one of the most prominent that we look for in the character of a person. And yet, when we see someone who does not have gratitude, one of the most repulsive traits that we can think of perhaps is ingratitude. No one likes someone who's not thankful, who doesn't appreciate what is done for them. Well, the story we have here this morning, an actual account, it's not a parable, mind you, but it's an actual historical account, is of the 10 lepers that were healed, and of the one that showed gratitude, and of the 9 that did not. I've titled our lesson for this morning, "Where Are the 9?" I'd like to look at this story a little more in detail and kind of analyze the one who did show gratitude, the 9 who didn't, and what that can mean for us today. The healing of the 10 and the results that came to pass from that show the danger of ingratitude. Christ wasn't happy with those 9. Into which class does our Savior place us? Are you someone that shows gratitude in your life to the Lord? Or are you someone that takes things for granted? Or maybe you wouldn't say that you do, but that your actions say that you take things for granted, the spiritual blessings that you have received. Are you one of the 9, or are you one of the 1? Let's think about these 10 men to start with. These 10 men were lepers. We don't think much about leprosy today, but leprosy is not something that has been exterminated from the world, at least not to my knowledge. And not too long ago, there was still a leper colony in Hawaii on one of the small islands, where people lived in a community together because the disease is contagious. And there is no known cure at the hands of men for this disease. And this disease is a disease of the skin. It causes sores and boils, and it's very painful. And it's very repulsive to see because of the change in your countenance that it results in. And that's why these men were standing afar off when Christ came by. They had to stand afar off. That was part of the Jewish law. But it was also for the public health, for the public safety, so that they wouldn't pass on that disease. So as they saw Jesus passing by, they stood off from afar and they called to him. And they asked him to have mercy upon them. What they wanted was healing. That's the kind of mercy that they were after. And I think it's very interesting what Christ's reply was. When they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," he didn't say, "I'll think about it." He didn't say, "You're healed." He simply said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And if we looked at the Jewish law a little bit deeper, we know that the priests under the Jewish system were not just the spiritual leaders, they were the civic leaders as well. And they were instructed to go to the priest because the law was that if they were healed, if they did find themselves not to be having leprosy anymore, they had to go, and the priests were the one that could certify that they were clean, that they were healed. And then they could re-enter society. So these 10 men were told by Jesus, "Go show yourself to the priests." Had anything happened to them yet? No, nothing had happened yet. They had to take it on faith to obey what the Master had said, and they did that. They set out on their journey to find the priests, not healed yet, still in the same condition that they were. And as they traveled, they were healed, it says. So as they went on their way, doing what Christ had told them to do, they found themselves made well. They were separated from society, and we can draw a lot of parallels between spiritual things and physical things here. They were separated by their disease from society, and we are also separated from our God by sin. That's a parallel that we can draw. Over in Isaiah the 59th chapter, verses 1 and 2, you've probably heard this passage many times. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." I'm going to draw some parallels here because this isn't just a quaint story. We can also put ourselves in a position similar to these men who receive things from the Master. And they had a physical disease, and we have a spiritual disease called sin. And we need to approach the Master as well and ask him to heal us, ask him to forgive us. I think it speaks well of these ten that they acted upon their faith. They acted in obedience, obeying what the Master said. And if you're a Christian today, you have acted in obedience as well, doing what the Father has asked you to do in naming the name of Christ and taking on the life of a Christian. But despite these ten people's faith, despite their obedience, Christ still had a charge to lay against the nine. They weren't grateful. And we should take a lesson from that. We may be obeying what the Bible says. We may have great faith in our hearts. But there's more to being a Christian than that. We need to be thankful to God for what he has done for us. They were cleansed as they went. Their faith helped them to do that. This would have been a severe test of their faith. Why should I go to show myself to the priest? I'm not well yet. But they acted upon their faith. When we act upon our faith, we need to make sure that we're also examining ourselves to make sure that we're grateful to the Lord. One person turned back to show gratitude. Nine were indifferent. Those aren't very good odds. Note Christ's statement. We're not the ten cleansed, but where are the nine? Most of them just went their way. Oh, I'm sure they were glad they were made well, but they didn't stop and show their gratitude, taking the time to thank the Lord for what he had done. They all had the same disease. It wasn't like they were in a different situation. They all had the same condition. And so do we as human beings. We're all frail. We've all sinned. And we all owe the Lord the same thing, the same debt of our lives. We took the time this morning to commemorate our Lord's death. He died for each and every one of us. He died for you and he died for me. And that's something that we can never cease to be thankful for. They appealed to the right person. They appealed to Christ. That wasn't where they went wrong. They went wrong by not showing gratitude. Now, so many times we think about gratitude or thankfulness as something that we teach our kids. We teach our kids to say thank you. We think of that as a manner. And it is a manner. We need to have good manners. But it's much more than that. It's something that Christ expected in this situation. It's not just something nice to teach our children so that we're not embarrassed when we go out. Gratitude is something that as adults we need to show in our lives for our Creator, for the many different things that he has done for us. Christ expected all ten to return. That's what he expected. And he only got one to come back and thank him. Are we going to be like the nine, or are we going to be like the one in our life? Now, it's a simple example, but we need to draw application to this in our lives. What do we have to be thankful for? Damon asked me what my lesson was about, and while it's not exactly synonymous, but count your blessings. Do you count your blessings, and do you give thanks to God for what you have? Chief among those blessings is the fact that we have the chance to have salvation. We can look in Luke, the 10th chapter, in the 20th verse. It says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." Now, he's talking here to the 70 disciples that he had sent out. And they had special powers given to them. And some of them were feeling pretty good about themselves that they had these powers. But he tells them not to be thankful for that, not to be proud of themselves for that, that the spirits were subject to them. He says, "But rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Don't let the import of that be lost upon you. We should rejoice above all things that our names are recorded in heaven when we are Christians. That's not something that we could earn. That's not something that we could ask for. That was given to us by our Lord. And we should be thankful every day that we live, that we have the chance to be a Christian, and that we have the chance, the blessing, to have a relationship with the Creator. That was given to us. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever become calloused to that fact. He warned these disciples that, and we should take heed as well. As Christians, we should be thankful people. Turn over with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In Ephesians 5 and 20, Paul says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." What are we to be thankful for? We're to be thankful for all things. Are you a thankful person? You know, being a thankful person probably easily translates into being a happy person. When you realize your blessings and you take stock of your blessings and you value the things that you have, you're going to feel wealthy. You're going to feel well off in a spiritual sense. Do you count your blessings and do you give thanks to God for everything? People should see us, our neighbors, our co-workers, and say, you know, there's something special about him, or there's something special about her. These things don't seem to shake them. These things that happen in politics or that happen in our country with wars or their family situation never seems to get them down. There's just something strong within them. What is that? Can people see that in you? Are you a thankful person that has Christ as their rock? We need to be thankful to God for all things. That's all spiritual things. That's all physical things. We should be thankful most of all, like I said before, I alluded to at least, our salvation. Another place we can look is Romans, the 6th chapter. So many times I won't say take it for granted, but we hear it so many times that sometimes we let the import slip away perhaps in our mind. In Romans 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." He starts out, "But thanks be to God that once you were in sin, you've been freed from that." Now, he's giving the example here of slavery and freedom. And perhaps we don't really understand what that means to someone's life, but these people in this time would have. We can read about slavery, we can read about freedom, but these people knew people that were enslaved. It was a part of their daily life, their daily society. And what freedom meant to someone who had truly been enslaved, we probably can't really imagine what that feels like. But that's what we were to sin. When sin had a hold of us and we had sin laid to our charge, we were a slave to that sin and we had no choice but to suffer damnation for our deeds until Christ came. And we were freed from that. Don't ever let that escape your consciousness. Don't ever let that escape your mind. We should be thankful to God daily. Every time we pray, we should thank the Lord that He has done that for us, because He didn't have to. He did that by sending His Son, as we've said. And we see that in Hebrews 2 and 9. "But we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone." That's a description of what Jesus did. Think about who Jesus is. Jesus is deity. He came and lived like you and I. Took on a physical body much like mine and much like yours. Did He have to do that? Can we really imagine what deity is? We can't picture it. The Bible goes to great lengths to try to give us personification of deity, characteristics. We can't imagine what it would be like to be God and what it would be like to come and to take the form of a man and the limitations that that entails. He did a great service to us, something that we could never have asked for. He came. And He lived. And not just that He did that He came and lived, He came and died. A despicable death by any standard in any time. He didn't come and get convicted in America in 2000 where you were guaranteed an air-conditioned prison and a painless death if you did something horrendous. He died a despicable, painful, agonizing death, despised by all men, for you and for me. Don't ever let that escape your consciousness. Be thankful that God sent His Son and freed us, gave us freedom from our sins. We couldn't have escaped them otherwise. And don't ever let that get out of your thinking. Turn with me to Colossians, the second chapter. Are we thankful enough in our daily lives? We should teach our children to be thankful. But as adults, let's not forget that we have just as much to be thankful for. And how do we teach our children? It's by example. We can tell them to say thank you, but when they see us being thankful to God, when they see us being thankful to our brethren, thankful for everything in our lives, that's how they really learn. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Overflowing with gratitude. Can that be said of you? Much is made in our society, in our culture, of being proud, of not owing anything to any man, of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But we are not that way spiritually. We are so dependent upon our Lord. And we should give great gratitude with all humility to our Lord when we take Him on, it says here. Having received Christ Jesus our Lord, walking in Him, overflowing with gratitude for the things that He has done, the things He has given us. Now these are all spiritual blessings, but we should be just as thankful for the physical things of life. And perhaps we are more familiar with that. In 1 Timothy 4, 3 and 5, at least more familiar with expressing that, I should say. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing to be rejected if it is received with gratitude." He's talking here about the conflict they had in the first century about what was clean and what was not clean under the new law. For the clean and the unclean were done away with. And he says here that all food is given by God and it all is good when it is received with gratitude. You think about the fact that we are His creation. We should not even take for granted that He provided for our sustenance on a physical basis. It's not something that just happened, as the evolutionists would have us to believe. When He created this earth, He knew that He had to create food and water and sustenance for us as physical beings, and He's done that. And just because it rains upon the righteous and the unrighteous, and those who don't obey the Lord, believe in the Lord, and call on the Lord, they eat, they have shelter, they do all those things. Well, don't lull yourself into complacency thinking that we don't really owe it all back to God anyway, just because it's a right of every human to have food and shelter, right? No, it was created by God for us. And we should be thankful when we have food on our tables. We should be thankful when we have clothing and shelter. All these things we are to be thankful for. And we are instructed here to receive our food with gratitude. One way that we show that is by giving thanks to the Lord before we partake of that. And that's an example that we see our Lord Himself doing. Over in the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, in the 6th verse. In Mark 8 and 6 it says, "And He directed the multitude to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, He gave thanks and broke them, and started giving them to the disciples to serve them, and they served them to the multitude." Christ Himself gave thanks. As He was in a physical form, He realized that physical food came from the Father. And He gave thanks to the Lord that day for the food that they were receiving. That's an example that we should follow. To be thankful to God for the fact that we're able to breathe air is a testament to our Lord. Don't take anything for granted. Another thing that we should be thankful for, not just spiritual blessings, the fact that we have the access to salvation, that we have food, that the Lord has provided for our physical beings, we should be thankful for each other. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. The first chapter. We're not in this alone. As we sit here with other Christians this morning, we should take comfort and take heart that other people are trying to serve the Lord as we are. And we should give thanks for that fact, that we can draw encouragement from that. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3, It says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater." He says, we ought always to give thanks for you. He was thankful that their faith was growing, that they were an encouragement to him. Do you love your brethren, and are you thankful for them? Are you thankful for the example that they set for you, for the encouragement that they can be? I know that you brethren have a love for each other. That's evident by how you interact and how you visit with one another when services are over. I've been places where when services are over, it's almost a race to the door, a race to the cars, to get home and to get away, get back where I guess they want to be, it almost seems like. But we need to love one another and be thankful that we can share our spiritual walk with one another. Gratitude was expected by the Lord of those lepers, the ones that He healed. He expects us to show gratitude to Him. We've looked at that. These are commands that we've seen throughout these epistles. Commanded to show gratitude for our food. Commanded to show gratitude for our salvation, for one another. Was there going to be a penalty for not showing gratitude? What happened to the nine that didn't show gratitude? Well, we don't really know. But we can turn over to Romans, the first chapter in the 21st verse, and see what happens when we don't show gratitude. In Romans 1 and 21 it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." Now this isn't exactly on point from what I was saying, but these people he's talking about here that fell away, that their heart was darkened by the Lord, didn't show gratitude to the Lord. They weren't willing to be thankful and honor God for who He was and for what He had done for them. They didn't show gratitude. So we think about those lepers and what Christ did for them. We can apply that to our lives today. Are we grateful for what God has done? I'm sure if I asked you, you'd say yes. But do you show it in your life? And do you show it enough in your life? How often do you pray and how often do you thank God for what He's done? We thank Him in words, in prayers. We thank Him with our deeds, the things that we do by obeying His commands and doing for others that show that we are grateful to our Lord. By fulfilling our duties to Him, we show our gratitude. I'd like you to remember this story about the 10 lepers and realize that they showed faith in obeying Christ. They had faith. They had obedience. Yet there was still something missing that day. We can be doing all the right things according to the steps of salvation. We can believe in God, we can have faith, and we can be showing obedience to some of those commands. But are we grateful to God? That's the attitude that He expects from us. That's the heartfelt love that we have for our Lord that we're expected to show. So I hope that you can think about these things, think about the example of the lepers, and try to be more thankful in your life. I know I'm going to try to be more thankful in mine and show gratitude to our Lord. He certainly deserves it. And we certainly are honored to give it to Him. That's the lesson that I prepared for us this morning. But before we depart, I'd like to extend the Lord's invitation to anyone who has need to respond to that. Please come now as we stand and as we sing.